to the webcast.
This is the 29th of August, 2012.
When this whole world starts getting me
down, when the world gets you down,
and people are just too much for me to face.
For me to take, this is what I listened to when I was a teenager.
I climb way up to the top of the stairs.
Up there.
And all my cares just
drifted
right into space.
That's right. Let's see if I still know the words.
On the roof, it's peaceful as can be. And there's no one below can bother me. Let me tell you now, when I come home feeling tired and beat, I go up where the air is fresh and sweet.
You guys know who made that record?
I get away from the hustle and crowds, and all that rat race noise down in the street.
Well, I'm not going to DJ for you today. Thank you for coming to my website and joining me for today's webcast. This is Wednesday morning, the 29th of August. And we're almost out of this month, and I'm glad to say to you that I had a very successful new week back at work. My gosh, I gotta tell you about the class last night. Classroom packed from wall to wall. I thought I had students before, but this was the first time that I'd seen on the first day a classroom packed. Let me fade out the music completely here, and I just want the students to know, welcome to Mr. Coleman's classroom. I hope that the way I conduct myself doesn't shock you too much. Kind of a nutty professor, I guess you can call me. The way my perspective is to view the world. Ethics. What a wonderful class that was last night. Well, on a Seal album, and I like Seal. As a popular singer, I think he is talented. He does with music, with words, with lyrics, things that many artists could never do. He has the opening cut of an album where he is talking about if we're looking for someone to come tumbling out of the sky. And I take that to mean that Seal was giving reference to if you're one of those Christians that look for a waiting Savior to come one day to rapture you and to take you away from this world when it starts getting you down, well, you can dream about that. But no, it's not a dream. It's true. I'd like to read to you from a very well-known New Testament book, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1. It says, "Now, as to the times and the epochs, brethren, you have no need of anyone to be written of anything to be written to you, for you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night." And he says, "When they are saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly, like labor pains upon a woman with child, and they will not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day would overtake you like a thief. For you are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of night or of darkness. So let us not sleep as others do." And this is a metaphor or a simile, if you will. It doesn't mean that you're walking around in sleep, but spiritually, a lot of people are dead sleep. So he says, "Don't sleep like others do, but let us be alert and sober." And with that, I'm going to begin this morning's webcast. Oh, let me. Here we are. There is no doubt that you've been listening to some of the news reports about the hatred that is spewing out of this election over Obama, the president, from both sides of the camp, the Democrats as well as the Republicans. And never ceases to amaze me that even though I mentioned to one of my philosophy classes this week that this is about one of the best countries in the world to have a political election because it doesn't end up in bloodshed. But I am, every day when I look at the news and I see newscasts showing American soldiers, white or whatever color, because I recall the black Muslim American soldier that blew up his own barracks in Iraq over there and killed some of the military personnel. Well, now there's white skinhead racist that is stockpiling military arms to assassinate the president of the United States. I mean, my God, what have we done? What have we done in this country? To be honest with you, it is becoming dangerous to give your own opinion about the president these days. I mean, in a country where we used to have that freedom. But let me go back to these verses that I quoted. Many of you that's been a Christian or following the Lord for years and reading your Bible, understanding it, having the commentaries, doing the research, doing the work exegetically, identifying it for yourself, you're not surprised about the times that we live in. When we look around the world and see people in Syria killing their own people, we see mayhem, bloodshed, we see sex off the chain. Our television programs are nothing but sensationalism, which is pinging on the verge of insanity. We see this kind of ill behavior towards one another. We know that we're coming towards the end of this age. If you're studying your Bible at all, I know that. Very rarely do you hear me talk about such things because it's not popular to talk about those things. People don't want to hear about the end of quote unquote their world. You know, when this world starts getting you down, people don't want to hear about that. But look what Paul says in verse 2. He says, "For you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just as a thief in the night." Now, this knowledge, okay, that the Thessalonian believers had was on a personal level. It wasn't something that the pastor said and that they had to believe it even though they had no evidence. Paul, when he wrote to these group of individuals, gave them facts enough to be able to determine their own personal knowledge. He said, "You know yourselves full well that the day of the Lord." Now, what this suggests is that there is a day when Jesus Christ, the Messiah of the Jews who rejected him, and the Savior of the so-called believing Christian community, where as he will return and take his followers with him back to heaven before what we believe we call the Great Tribulation period begins. I'm not too sure about when that rapture is going to take place. I'm believing everything that the Bible says, but I'd like to pose this question on this morning's webcast. And here is the question: what if the rapture doesn't take place and doesn't take you out of here, and we would watch our society collapse? Because we have no guarantee that the end of the world hinges upon American politics. What I'm trying to say is I've been listening to a lot of the scuttlebug about revolution in this country, civil war, if you will. And you may say, "Oh, John, civil war, that's impossible." Well, it happened in the 1860s, and 100 years later was 19, as a matter of fact, to be exactly 162 years later, I graduated from high school. So what makes you think that some 50 some odd years after that, that there could not be another civil war in this country? I asked the students in the ethics class how many days did they think our supermarkets in the inner cities or the outer cities or in the Southern California area would survive with food in it if a national catastrophe took place. We came to the understanding not more than 2 days at the most. Everything would be gutted. People would start hoarding everything. Killings would take place all over. They would have certain neighborhoods blocked off. The power sources to the inner cities, to the most congested areas, would be immediately cut off, along with the water lines, because all of that would be preserved for the more better off communities. You better know that. Like I'm talking about Pacific Palisades and all of that, they're going to have something. They're going to have it in reserve. It happens like that. But think about this whole country going through chaos over the election of one man into an office. You would hope that we have a little bit more sense left in our brains than to go through something like that. But it is not out of the question. Look at Syria today. Some of the films that you're coming in from those rogue reporters that are filming that information and showing it to a lot of people, it's devastating when you see them blowing up innocent women and children and one militia group against government forces, point blank, point range, just dropping bombs on whole neighborhoods, decimating them. That could happen, let's say, because if a civil war broke out in this country, there's going to be rebellious pockets of individuals. And I was mentioning to the youngsters in the classroom, the forces that would come in and occupy America would be South American forces. These people need food. They need clothing. That's a cheap military to come in and occupy a country. And they're promised a fresh meal. People do that. This government will go so far as to lock up its own citizens to bring about martial law. Now, those of you that believe in God, you God-fearing Christians, the ones that are falling on your knees, praying to God, asking Him to sustain your society, your environment, your way of life, if you will, your epoch, you have no guarantee that that is to survive. Paul said, while they are saying in verse 3, peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly, like labor pains upon a woman with child, and they will not escape. What do you think Paul was describing? A visit to Disneyland? Of course not. He was describing the end of an age where things were happening in a rational, wonderful sense that had spread to chaos. I know your preachers in your churches will not talk to you like this, because they are cowards and compromisers who have taken the bullet for a paycheck. I am telling you that we are living in perilous times. I told you that playing the game of politics is a fool's game. For years, the quote-unquote Christian community has been taught, listen to this, for years you've been taught to put in somebody in the White House that thinks like you. Remember you did that when you put Carter in? Look what you got there, the fireside chats. He wasn't a very good politician at all. Then look what happened when Bush said that he was born again. How many times was the war over? The landing of a jet, theatrics on a grand scale. And then the brainchild of the African-American world, Barack Hussein Obama. I was going to call him insane, but that would not have been correct or proper. He is the president, and I am to respect the office. And I do respect the office of the president, but I do not respect the man that is in it because of his agenda. And as a matter of fact, I was on the way in from school last night, and I dropped by to visit a friend of mine who saw the movie Obama 2012, and he was outraged, and he said, John, did you? I said, I saw the film, but I knew that prior to watching the film. All you do is just do an historical background of a person, and you can find out who his teachers were. And what I meant by that are the people that he gathered his ideology from, what he believes as a citizen, his epoch, his ethic of time. It's obvious what Barack Obama is. Unfortunately, in my community, and I'll say it again, to many of my African-American brothers that's supposed to be Christian, your voting has been tweaked because you are not thinking about the situation properly. You voted for him because a black man can finally get in. You know, like everybody did when O.J. was let off the hook for the shed blood of Goldman and his wife. Do you remember that? Do you remember how this city, Los Angeles, was almost torn apart by that? Do you remember the Rodney King things? And everybody was saying Rodney King was such a great guy. Oh, can we all just get along? Trust me, that was stated out of sheer desperation. That was not a godsend. How do I know? They performed an autopsy on his dead corpse. And look what they found in him. So the naysayers were not just saying it. There's a terrible, terrible situation on the horizon. Let me share with you what I shared with a friend of mine. He called me and he asked me, John, I take it you're not voting again. I said, you're absolutely correct. Why would this man of God cast the vote in a fool's game? What? Feel like I had some kind of participation in the madness? Now, I'm living in this country, on this planet, and I have a valid passport, and unlike a young man that stayed with me, I don't desire to leave. I believe that America is the greatest country in the world. There is no country in the world greater than this United States of America. Now, I'm a patriot. I am a patriot because I know what America has produced and will produce and can produce. I also understand that we are one of the most aggressive countries on the face of the planet. And that is the way you remain strong. That is how you keep from getting blasted off of the planet. You had better have more arsenal than anyone else. Our current president is trying to lessen the military arsenal for a country. That is a person trying to take their own country out. That makes no sense to me at all. To take our nuclear advantage down to a minimum, you are out of your minds. That means that countries can merge together and have more of a nuclear arsenal. And if they have the, you see, a lot of these countries that we're afraid about, they can't deliver the missile. You better start worrying when they can deliver a missile through a rocket. You know, like Germany did to Great Britain in World War II. The Germans were the first to come out with the rocket missiles that shot over the English Channel. And it ran out of petrol or fuel as soon as it got over the city of London. And then it just started falling. Killed many, many people, destroyed many, many. Man, the infrastructure was decimated. And if you really want to see some of the old films that make sense, look at the stamina of the British people to go forward. I was surprised in that movie, Obama 2016, to see that clown president of ours would give the statue of a bust of Winston Churchill back to the English. That is the most ridiculous. This man is not for the United States of America. Now, I know that because if you are a patriot for the country, you would not criticize how this country has its development. And I know everybody talking about everybody should be free. Everybody should have a bowl of soup and a pot of rice. Everybody should drive a Lexus. No, they shouldn't. I don't know who gave you that idea. Bible surely didn't. But let's get back to what God speaks to his children. He says, but you, in verse 4, are not in darkness, that that day would overtake you like a thief. Well, I believe that many people in the so-called church, or the so-called Christians, are indeed in darkness. And that day will overtake them as a thief because they don't read, they don't listen, they don't pay attention. Now, I want to warn you. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm not a fortune teller or one that reads the future. I'm not a naysayer predicting judgment on my fair country. I don't have hatred for America. As a matter of fact, quite the opposite. I have great love for this country. I've said it before on more than this webcast. If you don't like America, like my young friend Mario, get out. He did. He saved his money, bought him a ticket to Spain, and he flew out. You know what I told him? Don't come back. Because when I see Old Glory blowing in the wind, I'm proud of this America. I can go to the supermarket right now with a piece of plastic and give me some food for my stomach. This is the America that I love. We have the best highways in the world. You look at Afghanistan, look at the mountain roads that our troops have to go around, those stiff, steep cliffs and everything over there. We have the best highway system in the world. We're the ones putting up these satellites where we can tweak and Twitter and do that. America did that. I don't see other countries doing that. If the Brits put a satellite up, I didn't know about it. We're the ones that put that thing on Mars. Did you see the Afghan people or the North Koreans doing that? Did you see any third world rogue country with missiles to blow up innocent people, cutting off folks' head in the name of God and religion? Did you see them putting that thing on Mars? Or do you believe, like many people, that it's really not on Mars, that it was a joke? This is America, the United States of, greatest country in the world. We entertain ourselves by looking at basketball, football, baseball, hockey. You think the World Cup is something? We have more professional teams in this country, and people all around the world know our players. This is America. This is America where Kobe Bryant, one of the greatest basketball players that ever lived, can be accused of rape, only to find out that the woman that he was in the hotel room with had the semen of three other men all in her body at the same time. She was a whoring as she went. But yet a man's career was put on the line, and now he's back making millions. Why? Because this is America. And in certain countries, you can miss a goal in a soccer team and the people of that country will kill you. Do the research. This is America, a God-blessed country. And anybody that doesn't like this country can get the hell out and stay out and take their Quran or whatever else they have and go with them. This is an America that states that the worship of God is your individual freedom and right, and that no one can come against that individual freedom and right. It's an America where you can read the Bible and it says, but you, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day would overtake you as a thief. But you are all sons of the light and sons of the day. Only in America. So when you go to the polls this November, so when the fights and the wars and the decimation starts, when the crackpots, when the kooks starts mayhem, and you think that you're trying to defend your skin color or to defend your premise, and you begin to destroy what America was, then you are a part of the decimation of your own country. Now, I'm not going to tell you like a lot of pastors would tell you, just get on your knees and pray. No, I'm going to tell you to arm yourselves and to protect your families. because when this decimation comes around, it's going to come your way, and it's not going to be pretty. It is going to be ugly. And the only thing that would sustain us from not getting that way would have to be a real intervention of God, whereas God has to step in and stop the mayhem. But we have erased them out of everything. I was amazed. I listened to a youngster in the classroom last night, and he asked me this question. He said, "But Mr. Coleman, what if you don't believe in God?" I looked at the youngster. I really forget what my answer was. It was something to the point, well, it doesn't matter to me, because I know that there's a God. You see, just because one person says that they don't believe in God does not mean that God does not exist. Paul says in verse 6, "So let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober." That's what I'm trying to do, sober you up. "For those who sleep do their sleeping at night, and those who get drunk at night." He's using these illustrations because this is a serious point. He says, but since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love and the helmet and hope of salvation. Now, this doesn't mean that we're going to be passively sitting down, watching our world tumble around us. You want to protect your loved ones and yourself. You see, one more thing. I believe in the Constitution of the United States of America. And all this controversy about whether that man, Barack, is a citizen. If he's not a citizen, then he is an illegitimate rogue president. Now, I hope he's a citizen. It doesn't matter to me, really, because he's in there. And if you took him out right now, you would make the whole system crumble. That's how weak we are. But don't think that your prayers are going to turn around the judgment hand of God on this country, because most people in this country have basically turned their back on God. They've turned their back on the idea of God. And isn't this ridiculous? They try to say, "God help us, God save us, God give us water, God give us this, God give us that." You know what? It's early in the morning in my home. I haven't even turned on the television. I have to go in and see if the hurricane tore up New Orleans, or if New Orleans survived the main brunt of the storm. I haven't even looked at television, because television is exactly that, television. The news media is only going to show you what they want to show you. But let me say this. For those of you that think that a political election may bring about the demise of our institution of America, I don't think that that is going to happen. I think that it is possible to happen if you have a bunch of misfits running around wreaking havoc. Now, if you know anything about communists, that's what they do. They have to start the revolution with a fight. We have been known as a decent people for years. You may not agree with our politics. I'm talking about we Americans. And I'm talking to those of you that don't like America. This is what I don't understand. You don't like this country. You don't like anything about it. But I see you hanging out here. I don't see you going back to your own country. I would say to the Syrians that don't like America, go back to Syria. To the Egyptians that don't like America, go back to Egypt. To the Europeans that don't like America, go back to Europe. Okay? I was born here. My birthright is right here in this country. I'm going nowhere. Now, if I don't like America, I'm going to do something to change it, to make it right. But I'm not going to bear arms and kill my fellow citizens because I disagree with them. No. We fought that in the revolution in 1776 when they were fighting against Great Britain. And trust me, when it came to the black man, in most cases, he was nothing but a laborer or a servant to rich whites. Now, since that time, that classification for many African Americans, or black folk, if you will, have changed. If you don't like what's going on in America, become a part of the voting scheme, the political arena. Play in that court. But I want those of you that believe in Jehovah, God, I want those of you that believe in a divine creator, an intelligent design, meaning that God had an intelligent design when he allowed America to come forth from the founding fathers. Whether you agree with everything about those founding fathers or not, do you know what they did? They put together a constitution because they knew that whenever you have people living in a society, there had to be a bunch of rules. There had to be rules. In my ethics class, we're going to get into those rules and why those rules were formulated. In my Philosophy 1 class, we're going to get into the discussion of God. Does he exist? And we're going to get into St. Thomas Aquinas' 5 ways to know that there is God in Philosophy 1. And in the World Religions class, we're going to look at every religion, as many possible religions as I possibly can, and then we're going to compare it to our home-based religion here. And let me tell you, Christianity in this country has fallen on bad times because what we call Christianity is not Christianity. It is nothing but a greedy whore's bent to get more stuff. And God is not about materialism. And that's what American religion is turned into. So I want to thank you for coming to my website. It has been a wonderful time just chilling out here with you. The webcast may be a little shorter because I have to go to school this morning. And I have to do some schoolwork here in the office, and it's piling up on me the first week. To those of you that are new students of mine listening to my webcast, welcome to the webcast. But as I told you in the classroom, please do not waste your time listening to these webcasts, especially if you are not a believer of the cause that I believe in. This has nothing to do with your grades. You can go to the philosophy page. That has to do with your grades, not my own personal opinion or my view of the world. God bless you all. Thank you for coming to my site. You know the drill. Stay in the Word.